Radio Split Ranch.
Hello and welcome once again to Radio Split Ranch, a monthly visit with the Capital Region's great broadcasters of the past and sometimes present. I'm Warren Garling when I'm not on the radio. We're going to start our third year on the Radio Split Ranch this month with another special guest I've known since my first year in broadcasting some 54 years ago. I'd love to tell you his air name right up front here, but he's had so many, I'm not sure you'd know it. It's all part of the diverse radio career of a unique voice that's still heard on Capital Region Radio today. I hope you enjoy my conversation this month with my old friend whose parents named him Don Bowers. Well, Don, thanks again for sitting with me and talking about this unbelievable life you've had in broadcasting, which we're going to get into some details along the way here. But for the regular listeners, I recorded Don a few months back, and for some reason, the machine messed up. That's who I'm blaming anyway, the computer. But now I've got him on the phone here, and we are set to go. And no problems this time, okay, Don?
Okie-doke.
You don't sound convinced, Don, but that's okay. Let's start at the beginning. How old were you when all of a sudden this radio bug bit you? What were you doing, and how did that happen?
Well, at that time, I was approximately 13 years old.
Okay.
And I used to listen, you know, of course, the WTRY and WPTR at the time, the two big music, pop music related stations,
sure,
battling it out between each other. And so one day I went into the audio visual department at my high school, Ballston Spa High School, and I said to the audio visual director, would it be possible to borrow a tape recorder? And he said to me, for what reason? So I explained that. Yeah, he said, that would be all right. So he let me borrow a Wallensack reel-to-reel tape recorder.
Great units.
So what I would do is I went home, and in the basement of my home, my dad had taken one area of it and turned it into like a little lounge for Don.
Okay.
So that was like my getaway room with my record player and a couple posters on the wall, etc.
Cool.
So I would sit there for hours and emulate Boom Boom Brannigan.
Of course.
From WPTR. He was my idol at the time because sure, I had met him at a high school hop.
Ah.
And so that morphs itself into the year before graduation in 11th grade. I went to the principal and I said, would it be possible on the lunch hour to do a little radio broadcast?
Wow.
And of course he looked at me like, what? So I explained it. So he said, well, let's try it for a few days.
Wow.
So I would record it evenings at my home on that Wallensack using the latest songs that were out there. I'd go buy the little 45s.
Yeah.
And of course, remember, just a half hour show.
Sure.
And I'd put school news in.
Wow.
And I didn't want the rest of the school to know who I was. I was just having fun with it. I was
sure,
thinking of the old original Wolfman Jack deal when he was sent back to town. And everybody thought, well, who is this? You know?
Sure.
So I come up with the name Uncle Red because of having fire engine red hair at the
there
time
you go,
as a young guy.
Sure.
So I would bring the reel to reel Wallensack recorder into the room where they would do the school announcements.
Sure.
And I paid a fellow from ninth grade with ice cream sandwiches. He loved them. And so I would be in the cafeteria eating, and he would take the microphone. And when you would, I know you remember these.
Oh,
they
sure,
would stand up, and you would grab them, and you would depress that flat area, and you would go live with the mic. Well, he'd put a piece of tape around it.
I'll be darned.
And he laid it sideways in front of
the so it wasn't the even hard. It wasn't even hardwired. You're actually using a microphone up against a speaker. I'll tell
right,
you, that's too much.
So that went on through the whole school year.
Good for
and
you.
And of course, the principal loved it.
Yeah.
At the end of the year, you know, before the year was coming to an end, different people would say, come on, we've got to know. Huh. Who is Uncle Red? Well, we didn't disclose it.
Yeah.
The following year, my graduation year, same thing all through the year till almost the end. And one day I got on there and I said, well, this is Uncle Red Live. It's our last broadcast today. I must disclose that I'm Don Bowers.
Wow. And you really were able to keep it a secret all that time.
Yes, I did.
I'll be darned. Well, it proves another thing, Don, from the beginning of your story, you've been a salesman from the get-go because you had to sell this idea to the principal, you know? Who
That's
thinks to
right.
do that? Nobody wants to talk to the principal, you
That's
know? You,
right.
you avoided that at all costs, you know? But
yeah.
you went right up to him and said, what if, and look at that. So you've been a salesman since you were in high school, easily.
Well, I didn't want to get into that part of it, but I got in trouble one day because
Uh-oh.
The principal called me and he said, Donald, he said, we really enjoy your broadcasts, but there's one thing that's a no-no, and you've got to stop it immediately. I understand that you've sold a commercial to the local Western Auto. And I said,
oh, that's so, too much, Don.
So we can't make this commercial. So I went back down to the Western Auto, gave the guy his $10 back.
That is too much. Well, I love it. What a great start.
Yeah, they busted at me for years.
Oh, I'm sure they did. So were you able to parlay this into something commercial eventually? I mean, what did you do? Take a tape to somebody, or what did you do?
Well, when I got out of the, when I graduated high school, I had a lot of ambitions, things I wanted to do. I was working for the Saratoga SPAC area. You know, it was all taken care of, as it still is for the most part, the parks and grounds by New York State.
Sure.
And I was working for New York State for the summer. And one day a guy came up to me and said, we're going to switch your position. He said, did you notice all the heavy equipment down in the ravine working feverishly? I said, yes. He said, what we're doing, we're building something that's commissioned by the governor. It's going to be called the Performing Arts Center.
Yeah.
It's almost finished. And when it is, we'd like to hire you as one of the very first guards.
Wow. How about that?
So that's what I did. Yeah, I did that last summer, the opening year of SPAC, 1967 summer.
Yeah.
And then right near, almost fall of the year, I got that notice from Uncle Sam, we'd like you.
Ah, there you go. Yeah.
Right. So I went into the Army. When I got out of the Army, I didn't know just what to do, but I knew I'd love broadcasting. So
sure.
A friend of mine said, I just got back from Florida. I went to the REI, School of Broadcasting in Sarasota.
There you go.
So I registered, I went down, I went through the school, I graduated, and I came back, and my very first job, I landed it by mistake. My grandfather said, Don, there's a little teensy ad in the local paper. They're looking for disc jockey tryouts at a station in Gloversville, New York. He said it's called WENT 1340.
Sure. There you go.
So he drove me up. I did my little audition thing in their newsroom. I looked like the Wallensack again.
There you go.
And about a week later, they called, said, we'd like you for a second interview, and they hired me.
Excellent. Excellent.
That
so this time, you're what, around 20 at this time or a little bit older?
Yeah, 19 and a half or so. Yeah. And that was latter 1969.
Gotcha. Okay. So you were at ENT for a while. Now, what were you playing up there? Was it like most of the stations playing a little adult contemporary or beautiful music, or what were you doing?
It was all beautiful music.
Ah, yeah.
and he would not, the owner of the station said, I do not want any vocals, not meaning the disc jockey.
No, sure.
But as far as the
songs were concerned, yeah.
Right. The music was concerned, he wanted only strings or horns or all instrumentals. So
interesting.
That's what
we played. Okay, gotcha.
And because Decca Records pressing facility was just up the roadway there in Route 30.
Mm-hmm.
The owner was friends with people there, and the latest Decca record releases, before they'd hit the stores, they'd come down and give them to the station.
Well, that's nice.
So Fred Waring and a lot of those instrumentalists, we played a lot of their music.
Gotcha. So that was obviously, at your age, putting you to sleep.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And the other thing was, I got my, as I'm sure you did, my introduction into radio. The first thing the owner said was, I don't like that name Bowers.
Oh,
I don't
there
like
you
that
go.
Ring. What's your middle name?
Yeah.
I said, my name is Lee. Yeah, you're going to be Don Lee.
Okay.
So I was on the air, Warren, for about 2 days, and the phone rang one day, and I said, WENT, may we help you? And this woman said to me, welcome, Donald, to the area. Welcome to Gloversville. Nice to have you here in our area, Gloversville, Johnstown. And I'd like to ask you, dear, are you Oriental?
Oh man, I never forget that till I die. Because Lee, of course, I'll be darned. Yeah. Well, I had a similar story up in Saratoga not too long after you're talking about. In early 72, I go to work up in Saratoga, and Kent Jones at the time running WKAJ. I said, well, I've used Chris Warren in college. He goes, oh no, we're not highfalutin and fancy here. You're going to use your real name. And I said, oh, come on. My father's a car salesman in the area, and he, you know, I'm not a junior, but we have the same name. And right. I said, there's going to be confusion, blah, blah, blah. He would not let me use a fake name. He said, no, we're real here in Saratoga. Yeah, so I used Warren Garling. Yeah, only went back to Chris Warren when I got to GNA a year or so later. But anyway, yeah, but isn't that interesting? Are you Oriental? I love it. So how long were you at ENT? And I kind of know the answer to this because we're about to meet in our histories. We're about to cross paths. So how long were you at ENT?
I was there for about a year and a half, and okay. I got a call one day, and this guy said, can you meet me for lunch? And I thought, what is this all about? Yeah. So he said, sorry about that. He said, I own the competitive station over in Johnstown. So we met for lunch,
okay.
And he said, I'd like to make you an offer. I'd like to make you my morning man.
Wow.
And he said, I will work with you on it. If things work out, I will even turn you into my program director. Of course, that made me all nervous. I never did such a thing.
Sure.
And so I went over there, and he said, we've got to make you sound like a different person. So I'm going to change your name. I'll come up with a name for you. So I'm thinking, wow, this radio business is crazy.
Yeah.
They're changing your name and everything. So I said, that sounds good. So I gave my notice, and I went over with him about a month later. He had me call myself Don St. John.
Oh, boy.
And I worked there for about 3 months, and I kept listening to him and training with him, and he turned me over to programming. I became program director.
Now, is this WIZR?
Yes, it was WIZR AM-FM. That's correct.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought I remembered that call letter up there. Yep.
So move along. I was there for about 2.5 years. Got a call one day, and this guy says, is this Don St. John? I said, yes, it is. And the guy said, well, I'm the new program director in Troy, New York for WTRY, and I'd like to invite you to lunch. I'd like to talk to you. Well, to me at that time, it was like ABC in New York called me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went down, met with him. Dan Martin was the gentleman's name. And he said, I'd like to hire you. And he offered me the job and more money and everything. So I went on. I was on right after Rick Mitchell,
Oh, wow. Who
had just been hired.
Yeah.
Rick would go off at 9 a.m. and I would come on 9 to 1.
There you go. And what
and
name were you?
Changed my name, Warren. He said, I don't like Don St. John. He said, I'm going to change that name. He said, you're going to be John, the letter E, period, Denver. You will be John E. Denver. I'm like, yeah. What? So anyway, the saga continued with the name changes.
Oh, gosh. So another tenure at TRY for a while. Now, by the way, you've transitioned over to, you know, obviously pop music, popular top 40 music.
Right.
Yeah. What were they doing at IZR when you were there? Was that also?
IZR was sweet music, you know, soft music at the time.
Okay.
The owner said, I want to do the same thing as WTRY and WPTR.
Ah.
So that's what he had me do, transition it. And as a matter of fact, the first fellow that I hired after interviewing him was a young kid in high school at the time, who went on, by the way, to do very well for himself. He even at one time worked at Chum in Toronto as a newsman. But the guy, I'm sure you know of him very well, Jeff Bellinger.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yes.
About that.
Yes, and Jeff is in New York City now, and he works, he does the stock market reports. I hear him every now and then locally doing those.
Sure. So your tenure at TRY, who else were you working with there at the time? Do you remember any of the other names?
Well, Mornings was Rick Mitchell. I followed Rick, and then they had a guy that came on in the evening. His name was Jerry Tyler.
Oh, sure. Sure.
And there was also a guy, and there was a guy there, Shotgun something. I can't remember the rest of his name, but I forgot just what it was. And I heard your incredible podcast recently with Mr. Brownlee.
Tom Brownlee, sure.
I never met that man in my life. I thought that was such an interesting podcast.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. He had mentioned this gentleman's name, and then I can't think of the last... Super Max Crinkle or something like that.
Yes, you're right. Yep, that's what he went
by.
Yep.
That was him. That was him. He was on Afternoons. Yeah, there you go. For a short time. Yeah. And then, as Tom said, he ended up out in Chicago real fast.
Sure. Yeah. Now, where did when we met? Where did SNY fit into this? I know you did overnights on SNY for a little while.
Yeah. What happened there was after working at WTRY, I was there for. I want to say a year and a half.
Okay.
And the program director and I, we kept butting heads. He kept saying to me, I'd rather hear this from you and that from you. He's a really, really, really tough program director. And they had gone into what you guys talked about recently, the Q format.
Sure, sure.
And I just wasn't fitting in well. I didn't like it. We had to go to Q cards. So I had a conversation with the general manager at the time, Dick Fasano.
Yeah.
And Dick said, I really like you. I like your work here, Don. He said, you don't feel like staying? I said, I really don't. He said, well, here's what we'll do. We're going to put you in the production department until you find something suitable.
Oh.
I want you to make sure that, you're employed.
Nice.
And once you do, then Grace Field will let you go, but hopefully you change your mind. So anyway, for about another 6 months, I stayed there as production director. And then I got an offer from Don DeRosa at WSNY.
Right.
So that's when I ended up going over with Don for a while.
Sure, sure. I remember subbing for you when you took some vacation time the summer just before I was going off to college, and it was the first time I had done midnight to six, and that was a nice challenge. And then and then you come back from vacation, and I immediately turn around after doing midnight to six all week, and I did noon to six on a Sunday afternoon. It was my last show, and and I just remember at least two or three times in the first hour saying after midnight instead of afternoon, and wouldn't you know the general manager Gene C. Hafer had come in for some reason on a Sunday afternoon, and he comes busting in the door and he goes, why can't you get the time straight? And here I am trying to do my very last show before going off to college, and he's just kind of ruined my whole mood, and of course there was a reason for it, but he didn't care. I was still messing up on the air, can't you tell time? So I remember later on thinking, gee, I should have just pulled my headphones out and handed them to him and said, here, you do it,
There you go.
I mean, what I've lost, a few hours on the radio, right?
Right.
I was leaving town, so anyway, the stuff we remember from those days, absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah, so SNY was cool. You were using, your name changed again, John Paul Jones.
Yeah, we were Home of the Young Americans. Yeah. I was John Paul Jones. You were James Madison.
I was Jesse James, if you remember
Jesse
correctly.
James,
sorry. Yeah, that's
Jesse
all right. James. That's okay. I try to forget it, too.
And I remember the WTRY at that time, WTRY and, of course, WPTR, and then all of us there on SNY, we're all trying to compete.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was fun times.
Oh, it was, yeah. And I would listen to the competition and say, okay, I can do this better, or I'm going to try this version of what they just did and all that stuff. It was so competitive back then. And, of course, SNY at 1240 with 1,000 watts in the day and only, 250 at night, we really weren't competing. But we did, for the Schenectady market, we were doing okay. I mean, we're showing up in the ratings and all that stuff, so.
We had
some fun in those days, absolutely.
Sure did.
Yeah. So where did SNY lead you to? Where'd you go next?
when I left SNY and left radio for a while, and I went into the food business because my uncle was in the food business, and he said, I'd like to have you come in with me and I'll teach you sales. So I was with him for a couple of years selling, of all things, Parmesan and Romano grated cheese. I had no idea what I was doing.
Too much. That's terrific. Yeah, again, as I said earlier, you're a salesman from the get-go, and that's how we meet again later in our lives, which we'll get to later. You're a salesman through and through. So he saw that in you. He figured, yeah, you could do this. Yeah.
Yeah. So one day, a couple of years later, I was in the company car, and I was up in Plattsburgh, New York, calling on Plattsburgh. I think they were called at the time. They're gone today, but I think they were called Plattsburgh Wholesale Grocery.
Okay.
And then I had to stay overnight because the next day I had to grab the ferry, so to speak, if you will, and go across Lake Champlain to Vermont, call on some accounts there.
Okay.
Well, that evening I was in my hotel room and I'm dialing up and down, and I pick up a station that I didn't realize at the time was right down the street from me. I was at the Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
It was also right there in Cornelia Street, the main street in Plattsburgh, if you know it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was WIRY, the big, big station in town, AM. So the next morning I didn't have to leave till about 10 o'clock. So I stopped in, said hello. So the secretary said, the owner of the station is out right now meeting with a client. We'll be back in about 10 minutes. Why don't you just hang on for a moment? I think he'd love to meet you.
Hmm.
So I hung out for a little bit. So he came in and went into his office. We got talking. And he says, would you do me a favor? Could I just beg you for a favor? I said, what would that be? He said, I'm trying to get this account. It's a furniture store in town. If I show you the copy, could I bring it into the the studio there and have
studio.
You record it for me? Would you mind doing that for me? I said, no, I'll do that for you. So I did. So I'm ready to leave. And he said, I'll tell you what, here's my card. If you ever decide to go back in radio, I would hire you in a heartbeat.
Wow.
He said, I'll give you a good salary. I'd love to have you on my station.
Nice.
So I said, all right, thank you, sir. And I took the card. So about 3 weeks later, boy, the bug was hitting me.
Mm.
So I went to the boss and I said, you know, I'm just not enjoying this. I'm missing radio. He said, well, I can understand. If you ever want to come back, please let me know. Loved all the work you've done for me. So I called this gentleman and he said, how soon can you start?
Nice.
And he offered me really nice money.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe it, Warren, for Plattsburgh, New York.
Yeah.
So I was there literally for 5 months, and I got a call from a gentleman, and he said, I didn't know the term at the time. He said, Don, I'm across the pond from you. I said, the pond? He said, Lake Champlain.
Lake Champlain, yeah.
Yeah, so I went over there one Sunday afternoon, my day off, met with him. He owned WDOT, famous station in Burlington. And I almost want to say in that podcast I heard with you guys recently, mm-hmm. that was brought up, that station. So same thing. I don't know what they're giving you in Plattsburgh. I will match it and I'll give you more. I need an afternoon man, 2 to 7. You would work with my program director, who I know that you know. I think you know, Warren, John Ballmer.
I know the name. And, I don't think I ever met John, but I know the name.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And so I took that job. I gave Plattsburgh, a couple weeks' notice and went over to WDOT.
Don got the silvers off the request line. We're going to do that boogie Phoebe.
Though it hurts, we are only three.
Save on all your kisses for me. That's the Brotherhood of Man off the request line from 14DOT, your radio station, and Dr. Don taking a look at sports. Young Ben Crenshaw is maintaining his solid lead in the PGA money-winning statistics. His second place in the Pleasant Valley Classic was worth $22,800. That advanced his total to $213,201, ahead of Hubert Green's $188,979. The New York Yankees have purchased left-handed hitting outfielder Gene Locklear from Syracuse of the International League. Locklear has been hitting 360 for Syracuse. And this just in, a final in the National League, Chicago Cubs 4, Philadelphia Phillies nothing, the first game. We'll take another look at sports in 30 minutes.
Do it yourself.
Whatever your project, Grossman's will help you do it yourself. And this week, Grossman's is featuring
Bird Wind Seal Roof Shingle, only $6.22 a bundle. Fine construction, 2x4/8, 99 cents. Half inch exterior sheeting, $6.69 a sheet.
That's Grossman's, Bartlett Bay Road and Shelburne Road, South Burlington.
Do it yourself.
Don't be afraid.
With Grossman's, you've got it
made. 14 forecast, mostly sunny today and Wednesday. Winds on Lake Champlain today, variable and under 10 knots. If you're riding in your boat now, you'll go, how did he know I was in my boat? Fair tonight, high today 84, low tonight 54, high tomorrow 80. Right now, sunny and 79 at WDOT.
Burlington at that time, just like to me, it was like you're in Los Angeles. What
really?
A bustling city that was.
Cool.
Three colleges at the time.
Yeah.
Can you imagine everything geared towards the college students?
Sure.
And it was just a ton of fun working there.
Nice. And what format are we there? Are you also playing top 40?
They were absolutely identical to TRY at the time.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
thought
and
so.
The year was 1976.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so you're hanging out there for how long?
2 years.
Excellent, yeah. So you're not really jumping around a lot for what a lot of radio people did. You're there 1 to 2 years each time, which is pretty much how I started out as well. And but you're doing typically what a lot of us did, and that is looking for a better position, better money, maybe a little bigger market if that's the case, you know.
Right,
and
right.
And so where does DOT lead to?
Well, if you remember, you used to be able to put your story in the back, so to speak, in the back of Billboard magazine.
Sure.
And so other program directors nationwide would see it, so mm-hmm. I did. Well, you know, Warner, it was about a month, and I got a call from this guy, and he says, "Ha, is this Don Bowers?" So I'll spare you my crazy sound effects, but he said he owned a station in Big Spring, Texas.
Wow.
And we need a morning man. I got to have you here. I'll pay for a plane ticket. If you got a car, just park it. I need you here fast. You'll be on billboards, the side of milk cartons. I got to have you. So he gave me an incredible offer. And I said, well, where are you located? He said, we're located just north of Midland, Odessa.
Okay.
Very close to the Mexican border.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll have a lot of fun. It's warm here. Well, anyway, I took the offer and I drove back. I had a brand new, Chevrolet Camaro then. Beautiful Camaro.
Nice. Yeah.
So I went back to Balsam Spa, New York, parked it at my parents' home. And he had sent me a set of tickets to the Albany County Airport. I flew down, and it was so weird. I leave the airport. They picked me up in a limousine.
Jeez.
And I'm like, this is Big Spring, Texas. What's going on?
Exactly.
So I'm driving down the road, and here's this big billboard. Here's my face and the whole nine
my
yards.
God.
And he's coming soon to KBST and, blah, blah, blah. I go into local 7-Eleven. Here's my face on the side of milk cartons. I'm like, what the heck?
Well, you didn't even know you were missing. I'm sorry.
Come to find out, this man was a multi-millionaire.
Wow.
He owned the whole town. He owned a bank. He had a used car dealership. He had a brand new Ford dealership. He owned restaurants, the radio station.
Wow.
He owned the TV station. But the thing I found the most significant, and unfortunately, Warren, I never got to meet him, but he was very close friends with then Governor Reagan in California.
Wow. How about that?
And about every 3 weeks, he would pay to fly the governor in, and they would they were friends.
Yeah.
And he and Nancy would come in to visit with this gentleman. And I always wanted to meet him, but it just never happened. They kept it all personal at the
sure,
guy's home.
Sure, that's
But I was neat. There for about a month, and he called me in one day, and he said, "I'm taking you off the air." I said, "Uh-oh, my Donnie's no, I'm making you operations director." I said, "Well, what does that mean?"
Yeah.
He said, "You're going to run everything to do with programming."
Nice.
So I did that. I was with him for about, I'd say probably 3 years, but the interesting thing, while I was there, I had 5 offers from all parts of Texas. What would happen, radio owners would be driving through.
Sure.
They'd hear me, and my voice stood out because most of the fellas and the girls, they were from the area, and they had that Texas,
Drawl,
drawl to their voice, and they'd hear me. Well, anyway, The only job I almost left and took was in Amarillo, but I didn't. It was a big powerhouse station, but this gentleman was treating me so well. I loved it so much that I just stayed there.
Nice, nice. So that's your, at this point, probably your longest stop, right? About 3 years or so? Yeah.
Yeah, stayed there for 3 years.
Did you get along with the weather down there? You had no problem with the warmth?
Yeah. Never had any tornado threats or anything.
That's nice.
They'd have sandstorms.
Oh, boy.
But no tornado. So then right at the end of the 3 years, he said to me, "I hate to lose you." And I'm like, "What?" He said, "But a friend of mine, very close friend, he bought an AM, a 5,000-watt AM station in Wichita Falls. They need a real good morning man. And I told him that he could borrow you for a while. I hope you don't stay too long." But he said, "I owe the man a favor." Or they'd say, "Oh, boy, I owe the old boy a favor."
Yeah.
And he said, "You know the car you bought from us?" This is how significant this man was. I said, "Yes." He goes, "The note's all forgiven. You know, I owed like 2 more years on it."
Wow.
"No, you don't owe anything." He said, "Thanks for such a great job. You're all set."
That's
and
nice.
He owned the beautiful Carlton House apartment complex I was in.
Jeez.
So anyway, so I drove. It took forever, but I went way over to Wichita Falls, and I was there. Oh, I must have been there a good year and a half.
Yeah, what were the calls there? What were you doing?
I'm trying to think right now.
I can understand how you could forget some calls after all the stops
KBSC
you're making.
Yeah, KBSC there in Big Spring, but I don't remember just now what it was. Wichita Falls.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Anyway, from there, I got a call from a guy who was in town for some kind of a broadcast meeting. And he had heard me in his hotel room, and he said, "I want to meet with you, buy you a little dinner, talk to you." He said, "I was hired by the Peoria Journal Star Press Broadcast Group out of Illinois. They bought a 5,000-watt FM or AM in Grand Forks, North Dakota."
Ooh.
And I'm thinking North Dakota. Mm. He said, they just got clearance from the Federal Communications Commission to put up a brand new 100,000-watt FM.
Mm.
And he said, "I need somebody to program. I love what you're doing with this AM station." He said, "I'll throw money at you. I got to get you up there. Is if I bring you on board, is there anything you would request of me that's really important?" I said, "Yes, there is." I said, "I'd want to come up, be totally left alone for 1 month. Give me a checkbook, because I'm going to have to bring in talent.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to assemble, a jingle package. But I see it's a large college town." "Oh, yes, UND is here." I said, "Okay, fine." I said, "I'm going to want to survey the market before I come up with what I think would be a winning format that wouldn't hurt your already well-to-do AM."
Sure.
So he said, "I'd like the way you think."
Yeah.
So anyway, I went with him.
2:32 with Bowers at Y95. Living in the past, indeed. The master of the past, Jethro Tull. Hey, it's going to be brought to you in part by Dr. Pepper and the Service Shoe Shop
in Town and Country Shopping Center. Wow, say that about a dozen times in a row. Service Shoe Shop. We had to do that when we began in broadcasting Music and More, Y95. Currently in the Forks, sunny and 40 at 95. Y95 has Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. Sounds like the music they're going to play at Dr. Freud's wedding. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, and what a lucky man he will be. Discover name brands at Team Electronics. Name brands you know and can depend on years from now. Like Jensen and their famous Tri-X 2 car stereo speakers. Specially priced at Team Electronics, North Washington and Columbia Mall. If you have a song you'd like to hear, call the Team Teletune line like hundreds do at 772-QUAD-0. That's 772-0000. Call 24 hours a day.
What's the price of gold?
Good news travels better in a letter with the right zip.
Music and More from the station for the 80s. Y95.
And it was a lot of fun, boy, building that station. And sure. I couldn't believe 100,000 watts. The Grand Forks Air Force Base, just outside of town.
Yeah.
And that was really significant. Lots of listeners from the air base. But the station covered two states, of course, North and South Dakota.
Sure.
It went over into a little bit of Minnesota.
Wow.
And it bombed. Of course, that's a radio term for your listeners, but it went well. The signal covered well into Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada.
There you go. Yeah.
We had a lot of listeners from Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Excellent. What do you remember the calls there by any chance?
They were Y95. The station was Y. They were known as Y95.
Cool.
KY. Let me see. Oh, I just remember the station in Wichita Falls was KYTN.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Cool. So Y95 in Grand Forks, North Dakota. So far,
yeah.
Don, if anybody's keeping track of all the folks we've interviewed over the last 2 years, so far, I think you're the one that's had the most covered the most ground of the United States, and we're not done yet. Okay, I mean we're still in the middle of your career. So,
that's
but
right.
you've so far have hit some states that I've never even met people from. So I mean
right.
That's pretty cool.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now, did you find lifestyles different? Where was everybody kind of, you know, I mean, what the difference between Texas and North Dakota there's got to be some, you would think.
Oh, yeah. I went from going to a 7-Eleven on the way to the station in the morning in Texas for coffee, and the young lady behind the counter would say, "How you doing this morning?" You know, one of those.
Yeah, right.
Now I end up in Grand Forks, and I can remember one of the first days I was at a gas station getting gasoline, and there was a gentleman who pulled in next to me, and he had this truck, a large truck, like a rack truck in the back.
Yeah.
And they had these round, about the size of an orange, purple thing stacked way up. Some had fallen on the ground and smashed. And I said, "Pardon me, sir, what are those?" So he goes, "Oh, are you new to the area, eh?" Everybody was so affected with speech from Canada.
Canada,
and I said,
yep, yep.
Well, yeah, I said, "Well, yes, sir, I am." He said, "Oh, those are sugar beets, eh?"
Sugar beets.
So,
okay.
Yeah, they were growing sugar beets. And then when you were in Grand Forks, it was like being in Schenectady.
Okay.
And if you crossed the bridge into Scotia, you'd be crossing into Minnesota.
Okay.
Well, as you crossed right over the bridge into Minnesota, there was a large Domino sugar plant.
There you go.
So they would take those sugar beets and, of course, turn them into, you know, sugar.
Yeah, yeah, process.
Yeah, yeah, interesting.
That's wild.
That's how they talk. I'd be on the air and I'd say, Y95, no, the hit line, and I'd get, "I was wondering if you could play something by the Beatles, eh?"
Oh, it's something. It's something. I did have the opportunity to work for a company, and I traveled the country a lot. And so I got to the point where I was able to discern between a southern drawl and a Texas drawl. You know, there's definitely a difference between Georgia and Texas. You can definitely hear it if you spend some time listening to both of them. Yeah.
But
you're getting all that stuff. So how long are you at Y95? How long did that go?
I was there for two and a half years.
Cool.
And then that was about the same time, 1983, if you'll remember, that Wall Street began to realize that there was money to be had in owning radio stations.
Sure, yeah.
And without any, of course, background at all in radio, they were buying radio stations. They were giving the owners money they couldn't refuse.
Sure, yeah.
They didn't know the first thing about it. You know, right away they'd come in, fire the jocks, and try to go automated. Well, that had happened at Y95. So I said, I'm getting out of here. Had my name in the trades, and I got hired by a gentleman in what they called Perry, Florida. And so I get down there, and it had to be the worst move in my life.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. The station was just, I don't have the right adjective for it, but I worked there literally for 3 weeks. And I said to the guy, sir, I'm sorry. It's not for me. Your equipment is falling apart. The area is too small for me. He said, oh, and his name was Harry, and he had come down from New Jersey 3 years earlier and bought that station, which had been off the air at that time.
Okay.
And when he bought it. So anyway, so I left. I just got in. I had a van, had a brand new van, Ford van. I got into it. I drove north, came back to Saratoga Balsam Spa. And I just hung around for a while. I'd put money away. I was all right there.
Good.
So I'm going to say about a year later, of course, immediately I went into the live weddings and parties. I always did well at that.
Oh, yeah, sure. No, I remember you doing a lot of that kind of work here in the area where you would.
I did a ton of that. And then a guy called me one day and he said, I own an ad agency. I'd love to get a guy in here like you working with me. It was in Scotia, New York, Metro Media Group, it was called.
Okay.
So I went with him as his production director, and I was there for probably 5-6 years.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
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 So we were hearing your voice and hearing commercials that you were producing.
Yes, I was on the market. A lot of radio, a lot of television. My commercials ran.
Cool.
Not mine, but I'm saying my voice in the commercials.
Sure. Yeah. So did
that
something
pretty much summates it for me?
Yeah. Did something now draw you back into radio? I mean, once it gets in our blood, as everybody will tell you, it's hard to
well, you know. Recent after I had worked for, as you did too, I worked for the voice company for 15 and a half years.
Right.
And then when COVID came, everybody at that time was put on hiatus. And of course, COVID went on for, the pandemic for quite a while.
Sure.
So I said to myself, well, what is it in life here I want to do? So I just said to myself, I'm going to just hang around for a while, decide what it's going to be. My wife said, oh, take your time.
Mm-hmm.
So then my wife started acting very oddly. I couldn't quite understand it. Mm-hmm. So to spare you all the story, the poor lady was coming down with, I don't know, you could say such a thing, but she was with dementia.
Yeah.
So then within 4 or 5 months, she ended up in a dementia center.
Oh, boy.
Where she is today.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, turned my world upside
down. Sure. Especially because she's such a nice lady. I love Bernadine. She just my memories of her are all good. And, I'm sorry that you're going through something like this. But,
she taught kindergarten over in Bethlehem for 35 years, one teacher of the year and all of it, but just a shame,
Yeah.
So, not too long ago, about a year ago, I got a phone call from a guy and he said, I purchased a radio station that was literally off the air and it had different call letters. And I said, you did? He said, yeah, it's 12:40 a.m. And I froze. I go, 12:40 a.m.? He said, yes.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, been there, done it. And I had done it twice, by the way, because first of all, with SNY.
Sure.
Second of all, it was WVKZ, and it was yes. owned by OTB in Schenectady.
Right, right.
And I did I worked as like a newsman for a guy that had a morning show there.
Gotcha.
And then for a short time, like a stand-in fill-in thing for about, you know, one full summer.
Sure.
And then, of course, now he's got the station. He said, we just got it on the air. He said, unfortunately, we bought it 3 months before the pandemic, so yeah. we didn't know if we were going to make it.
Sure.
So anyway, I got there, went over to talk to him, you know, lunch and all of that. He said, now we're working. We just got clearance from the FCC, and we're putting an FM on the air. It's going to be licensed to Southern Saratoga. In fact, the tower is in Ballston Spa, New York. I said, where? That's my hometown.
There you
go.
Well,
it's on the Curtis Lumber property.
Jeez.
And anyway, so he said, we're looking, you know, for voices, people with ideas. So I ended up ultra part-time with them. I do 2 noon-hour shows, one on Monday, one on Thursday, Elvis lunch on Monday, and the Beatles lunch on Thursday. Yeah, so it's a lot of fun.
You can take the boy out of radio, but you can't take the radio out of the boy. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, no, it's fun.
What I find interesting, Warren, is they stream, and through their streaming, they've now reached 75,000 listeners. But what I find amazing is I've had requests come in from Portugal, from Paris, France, from England, a lot of people in Florida who used to live in Rotterdam, New York. I mean, I just find it.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. It's crazy.
It is. It is.
And I'm sure your podcast goes out all over, right?
Well, that's the idea. It's on the World Wide Web. So, yeah. I do see that we get listeners all over the place, occasionally from Great Britain. And certainly we get Canadian listeners and such. But, yeah, and as you know, we're kind of, this is kind of geared toward radio guys and gals because it's because we talk the biz, you know, but
right.
but you, every once in a while it's crazy, somebody will probably and perhaps they're American and they're just stationed somewhere, or their
right.
job has taken them across the you know, the Atlantic or the Pacific, and all of a sudden I see I've had somebody, you know, listen to us from Germany or something, you know, so
sure.
it's pretty neat. Yeah, let's backtrack just a little bit. You also didn't you do a short stint as well at WKLI?
Yes, I did work with Magic 100.9 FM.
There you
and at
go.
That time, when I was with them, they were on 100.9 FM. I
right.
was with them. I almost forgot about that. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay.
I was with them just about 6.5, 7 years. I went there, first of all, in 2005.
Okay.
And I did, it was part-time.
Mm-hmm.
What I did for them, I did Sundays 2 to 7 p.m.
And that's your 5-day forecast. Now, more of the greatest songs of all time on a Magic Most Music Weekend.
Magic 100.9 FM.
Don Bowers, you, and the greatest songs of all time. You know that's a Magic Most Music Weekend. This is Barry Manilow on Magic.
Even now. Magic 100.9 FM.
You tell me that you're leaving.
Magic 100.9. Easy to listen to all weekend. Magic 100.9. Magic 100.9, your number one weekend radio station for the greatest songs of all time for the Capital Region. Magic 100.9. That's Natalie Cole, Nat King's daughter, the class of 88, and I Live for Your Love. Neil Sedaka in there, 1975 class of. Breaking up is hard to do, and when the Wilton Mall first opened its doors, one of the grand opening events was they had Neil
Neil Sedaka up on stage in the mall performing. I wish I could have seen that. I was out of town then. Barry Manilow opened the set with Even Now. And what a great song that is, Even Now, by the great Barry Manilow. A lot coming up. It is a Most Music Weekend. And
I really enjoyed it. I didn't have any time to do it full time.
I used to listen all the time. I was a big fan, and I'd tell people, I know him. You know,
After I left, of course, you know that story. They ended up, they were moved over to what was WROW Talk.
Right, right.
And later come out with their FM they have now.
Yeah.
And so radio is crazy like that.
Oh, anyway, absolutely.
At that time I was with, where you and I were together for the voice company. That's why I couldn't do anything full time.
Sure, sure. Well, that bears a little bit of background as well. I mean, I was absolutely blown away when I went to interview for this job at Voice Coaches, which at the time was in Schenectady. And I find out that not only are you working there, and I'm not exactly sure when this all came to light. I guess while I was in the process of signing on and with them, and also someone that I'd grown up across the street from that I actually babysat for, I actually babysat her and her brother and sister when I was growing up in Glenville. So all of a sudden, I've got two people inside saying, to the boss, oh, you got to hire this guy, which I really appreciate. Hey, I worked there for 10 years. So, it certainly was a great part of my life, being able to teach people how to do voice acting and also do the marketing at the time. I was into marketing. So, we got a chance to work together there for like 10 years. And you lasted a little longer than I did because I retired. And they've had some terrific people come out of there that are doing audiobooks and all sorts of stuff. I mean, it feels good. Like when I worked at the New School for a little while, just feels good to see somebody go out there and take what you taught them and turn it into something. So
yeah, and I didn't know that until I heard your podcast there with Mr. Is it Brownlee?
Tom Brownlee. Yeah.
And I didn't know that. It was such an interesting. And he, of course, working in. I didn't know that either. Working in both Chicago and then going to Chum and whatever, I was glued. I couldn't leave it. I was fascinated by that podcast.
Yeah, and a lot of other folks too. It's the most listened to podcast I've had so far. Probably because he did touch so many people's lives over the years.
Sure.
So he's got a lot of folks that took his course and that now owe him something. And so they gave a listen. But it's an interesting twists and turns we've taken. And now these days you're still as I say. Still hear you on WPTR with a couple of specialty shows. What kind of show prep do you do for that? Do you spend some time getting ready each week?
Yes, I do. I, of course, went on to the internet and I got myself some information on the Beatles, tidbits they call it, and tidbits on Elvis.
Yeah.
And I go through them. I say to myself, well, I'm sure any serious Beatle fan knew this or any serious Elvis fan.
Sure.
So I try to find facts that, are really like fresh and new. Like one of the newest, I saw a quick little interview with Bob Dylan recently.
Ah.
And he was talking about his first meeting with Elvis Presley, which was in a recording studio.
Ah.
And he said he never really liked Elvis at first. He didn't quite understand him,
mm-hmm.
where he was going with his career. And then he met him. And the first thing he said to Elvis was, Elvis, you know what you should do? He said, I know you're probably now thinking that you're getting a little bit stale. And Elvis said to him, yes, I can kind of feel that. This is after Elvis had been in Vegas for a while after coming back.
Sure.
He said, if I were you, Elvis, he said, you know how you did what they're calling the comeback special and you had the leather gear on? Elvis said, yeah, of course, Bob. He said, I would go back to that look and that nice black guitar you had. And he said, I would take those jumpsuits and lock them away in a trunk, never to wear them again, and get myself really just about a good 7-piece band. Forget that orchestra.
Yeah.
And he said, Elvis, he said, I think you'd draw just a bigger crowds, maybe bigger, but you'd get a new youthful audience.
Yeah.
So Elvis said, yeah, Bob, we'll give that some thought.
Yeah.
I found that interesting, and I see where Bob, you probably saw that too, is coming to Proctor's Theater.
Yeah, oh yeah, tickets are hot. Yeah, yeah. I've got generations here in the neighborhood that like Dylan. My 44-year-old son is a Dylan fan, and so is my 94-year-old neighbor is also a Bob Dylan fan. Yeah.
What's your favorite Dylan song?
Well, see, I was never a huge Dylan fan, to be honest with you. I really like his stuff from his early in his career, the 64, 65, and there 66. Yeah. After that, now when I first joined SNY, Lay Lady Lay was a big 1969 hit.
I was just going to say, that's my favorite song.
Yeah, and that's probably one that when I hear it, immediately just transforms me back to my first days on the radio.
Yeah, it's like a TRY then.
yeah, there you go. Yeah. But you just never know. And my son just played me two or three cuts from his latest LP, the other LP.
Oh, really?
CD, whatever you want to call it. He played me some Dylan tracks just the other day, and the man has changed and evolved over the years, but he's obviously still selling out, and Proctor's has got him coming in October, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be a good show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, sir, this has been a fun trip down memory lane, I want to tell you, and again, I'm so happy that you're still doing something in radio. You'll be, you're certainly one of the deans of area radio, and with the background that you've had over the years, it's easy to see, that you enjoy this, and it's in the blood, as they say, and I just wish you all the luck going forward with it.
Thank you very much, and please keep up the good podcasts. I've shared, the fact that you have it with many, many people that have tuned in now, and they've become regulars of it.
Well, that's nice.
They're really enjoying it, so I wanted to let you know that as well.
Well, thank you very much, Don. I do appreciate that, and just be well, and I just hope that everything goes better for you here from here on, and we're thinking of Bernadine praying for, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Radio Split Ranch.
A man of the world, or at least a lot of the United States. I usually ask my guests before we chat to count up how many different call letters they've worked for so I can keep this running tally for the end of the podcast each month, but I didn't want to take that much time from Don's busy schedule, so I kept count as we talked and came up with a lucky 13 stops Don made on his radio trek through the decades. I believe that's the most of any guest so far, but you'd have to go back and listen to all the podcasts to be sure. So that brings our total for 25 guests to 254. While you're listening to any of our 2 years of conversations, feel free to comment and make guest suggestions for future podcasts just by posting your comments on our Facebook page or my podcast home, podbean.com. Or you can drop me a private message at wgarling@aol.com. Your comments can only help me do a better job in chronicling the careers of your favorite radio and TV personalities of the region. And any help you can be in spreading the word about our podcast would also help keep me off the streets. I guess it makes sense to end this month's edition with one of my earliest air checks from the week I subbed for Don on 1240 WSNY in Schenectady back in the summer of 1970. Please now try to keep your laughter down to a dull roar. And I remember I was only 18 years old, still trying to figure out my own style after emulating the jocks I grew up listening to. A couple of interesting things to listen for here. Our program director, Don DeRosa, whose voice you'll hear a few times here on some of the Segway jingles, went against convention and had us play our call letters jingle after each record. Interesting. And at the end of the air check, you're going to hear my first two commercials that I ever recorded for commercial radio. Not sure how I got these assignments, as I was working just 6 hours a week before I went off to college. But maybe because Don Bowers was on vacation that week and I was subbing, maybe they had me do some of his production work as well. I'm not sure. Hope this brings back some fond memories of Top 40 radio in its heyday for you, as it does for me. Try to survive until we meet again next month on the Radio Split Ranch. And don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened.
Blues Image, right on.
WSNY.
At 106 a.m. 67, the current 1240 temperature. Looking for a fair morning all the way through Wednesday. We're going to have fair weather. Early morning lows in the 50s this morning. High tomorrow and Wednesday in the 80s. 6 after 1 with B.J. Thomas. Just can't help believing. Jesse James in for John Paul Jones on a Tuesday morning, the 18th of August.
Just a day.
Just can't help believing that this girl's gonna stay for a little bit more than a day. BJ Thomas sings. Great sound it is, too. At 9 after 1, all together.
W-H-N-Y.
67, the current 1240 temperature with Credence on the Clearwater Revival. J.C. Fogerty at the lead, and number 13, the great record race. Long as I can see the light. Good philosophy there. Long as I can see the light. At least you won't trip, right?
Long as I can see the light.
The most music.
W-H-N-Y.
At 12 minutes after 1, 67, the current 1240 temperature with... Very good. Got it the first time that time. Oh, gonna hold you tighter and tighter, and a little bit more. Number 7 this week in the Great Record Race. It's live and kicking.
You know I got to show you.
Alive and kicking, would you please let go just a bit? You're too tight. Just a little. Thank you. I gotta push the button here, you see. Right on.
W-H-N-Y.
Thank you very much. Number 7 in the Great Record Race this week, alive and kicking. Dig that song, Tighter and Tighter. 115.
1240.
W-S-N-Y. Instant hit.
Fantastic sound of rare earth.
Your love is fading.
Rare earth. Instant hit.
W-S-N-Y.
Let's go in there, too. All the way to the top for I Know I'm Losing You. 19 after 1, 67, the current 1240 temperature. Fair this morning and through Wednesday. Early morning lows in the 50s. High tomorrow and Wednesday in the 80s. Currently at 19 and a half after the hour of 1 o'clock. At 67 with Jesse James and for John Paul Jones on a Tuesday morning, the 18th of August, 1970.
And the sun goes up, the car goes by.
318 altogether.
W-H-N-Y.
Let's make it 5 in a row, right? 1, 2, 3. That's number 5 in a row. WRSNY 1240. The heavy hitter. Mississippi Queen. Mountain. 64 the current 1240 temperature. Fair this morning and through Wednesday. Early morning lows in the 50s. High tomorrow and Wednesday in the 80s. Again at 64 across 1240 land. 20 minutes after 3, as the sound of the 3 degrees penetrate
with... You know, girls...
Maybe.
It's hard to find a guy.
Right on, brother.
W-H-N-Y.
3 degrees, number 6 this week in the Great Record Race, maybe. 24 and a half after 3.
This is Mel Allen.
Hi, Mel.
You're hearing construction in progress.
Or call 377-8888 now.
Back a bit with the chairman of the board. Bit more time, please, babe, all together.
W-H-N-Y.
1970, it's chairman of the board.
Win a personally decorated birthday cake on your birthday from WSNY 1240, all together.
W-S-N-Y.
Album
Power Play.
Right here on
WSNY Schenectady.
Fifth Dimension from the July 5th album. Babe, let it be me, huh? Album Power.
W-H-N-Y.
From the July 5th album, more hits by the fabulous Fifth Dimension, including some of their hits, Go Where You Wanna Go, Sunshine If Your Love Is On Here with Those Were the Days, and of course that one right there, Let It Be Me. 27 before 4, 64, the current 1240 temperature.
A WSNY 1240 neighborhood note.
The Rotterdam Babe Ruth Auxiliary is sponsoring a teen dance for the benefit of the Babe Ruth League on Tuesday, August 18th from 7:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. at the Rotterdam Republican Club, Princeton Road and Thompson Street. 75 cents per person, music by theater.
Interested in you and the Capital District. WSNY 1240 communicates community news.
Chicago returns 25, or is it 6 to 4? Actually, it's 27 to 4.
It's a great record race with WSNY 1240. Call 377-8888.
play call number five. Call number five in that great record race. Says the Who. Go to it. Summertime Blues. Oh, there ain't no cure. You heard the original Blue Cheer. Not the original, but one of the Blue Cheer versions. Summertime Blues a little while ago. The Who do it to it. The old Eddie Cochran hit way back in the early 60s there. 21 before 4, right on.
W-S-N-Y.
64, fair this morning through Wednesday. Early morning lows in the 50s. High tomorrow and Wednesday in the 80s. High to you, it's 21 before 4. Good morning. It's a Tuesday, the 18th of August, 1970. And on the line right now, we have Doug Gouget of 1016 Van Antwerp in Schenectady. Good evening, or good morning, I should say. Doug, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. What odds do you choose this morning?
1 to 5.
5-1 odds, okay, could win your choice of a pass for two to the Colony Theater in Schenectady or the Oxford Theater Troy, Community Theater in Saratoga Springs. If you win, and the rank of the next hit about to play will be between 10 and 15. Which one do you think it'll be?
12.
Number 12, good luck.
W-S-N-Y.
13.
Right
on.
W-S-N-Y.
Looking out the back door, Creedence Clearwater Revival from their brand new Cosmos Factory album. And the flip side, also number 13 this week, Long As I Can See the Light. Both, of course, written by J.C. Fogerty. And the famous Creedence Clearwater Revival. Number 5 this week in the great record race. Here's Bread, They Want to Make It With You.
Albany Business College helps you get ahead. Register now for Albany Business College Evening Division classes beginning September 21st. The secretarial program includes shorthand and typing. Beginning typewriting, intermediate typewriting, and stenographic review are also offered. And for persons preparing for November's Civil Service Senior Stenographic Exam, a reading, arithmetic, and stenographic review starts Saturday, September 12th. All other courses start September 21st. Register now at 434-7163. Food shoppers, fight inflation with AMP store-wide low prices. This weekend, save on super right quality AMP turkeys, 18 to 22 pounds, 39 cents a pound. All grade A turkeys, U.S. government inspected, the finest. Also special, AMP's magnificent super right fully cooked smoked hams, whole or shank half, 57 cents a pound. AMP hams and turkeys, both great for a festive meal. For sandwiches, canapés, snacks. Save on hams and turkeys now at AMP, the store that cares.